On today's Part of My Take, we have the long-awaited J.J. Watt interview. Part one is coming today. Everyone should be excited. It was a great interview. We sat down in his rustic log cabin that's actually a really, really nice home in Wisconsin. We also have Mount Rushmore of Friends, Who's Back of the Week, and some great segments. Before we get to all of that, I wanted to quickly talk to you guys about Capterra.com. Sure, you're good at what you do, but if you've ever found yourself knee-deep in spreadsheets with more emails than you can count, you could be doing much better. It's time to power up your productivity with the right business software. But the search for software can be long and painful. And where do you even start? Well, let's do it. Capterra.com. Capterra is an easy-to-use software comparison site with over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Whether you need help with website building, customer service, or project management, Capterra.com is the place to go. There's no obligation. You don't need to register. You won't get annoying follow-up emails or phone calls. You won't spend weeks or months searching the internet because all the information you need is in one place. So why wait? Visit Capterra.com/PMT today and join millions of people who use Capterra every month. That's Capterra.com/PMT to find the software that will save your business time every single day. Capterra.com/PMT. Go check it out. Let's go. Boy! Boy!
Now in the street there is violence and a lot of work to be done. No place to hang out or washing, and then I can't blame all on the sun. Oh no, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue. And then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue.
My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take. It is Monday, July 17th. Hey, JJ. It is the JJ Watt episode.
We're in his house. The podcast is coming from inside the log cabin, JJ.
Inside the log cabin. So part one of the two-part JJ Watt interview is today. We want to give a shout out to all the award-winning listeners. If you are a first-time listener of this podcast, we've had a long time, I don't want to say feud, but a little back and forth with JJ.
It's been gamesmanship. It's like two elite players going up against each other. He respects us. We respect him. It's a mutual thing. But it was good to sit down face-to-face with him, settle our beef like men.
Yes.
We were obviously the alphas in this situation.
Of course.
It was good to just have him be able to look us in the eye and take our shit.
And the deal was that if we raised over $50,000 for the JJ Watt Foundation, he would come and talk, or let us come and talk to him. We did that in record-breaking time. Shout out to all the award-winning listeners. It was anonymous, though, so we anonymously saved thousands of children's lives.
I don't want any of you out there taking credit for it. We take credit for you guys taking credit. That's how it works when you're being anonymous.
If you live in the Wisconsin area, tune in to Judge Judy. What days is it, Billy? Tuesday and Wednesday? We will be playing our commercial, thanking ourselves anonymously. Mm-hmm. Again, anonymously.
Yeah, we wanted to take out a full-page ad. Turns out print media is doing pretty well because they were trying to charge us like $2,500 for a full-page ad. So,
yeah.
You know what? Hey, we're pivoting to video.
Or they basically were like, who's this sucker kid calling from New York asking to take out a full-page ad about J.J. Watt?
Right.
Maybe we'll just charge him as much as we possibly
can. What's up, Billy?
The commercial is at 3:35 p.m. on Monday and 3:05 p.m. on Wednesday.
Talking to the mic, Billy. Remember to talk to the mic. All right, so there you go. Listen, you can tune in if you live in the Wisconsin area. Before we get to J.J. Watt, we got some business to do. And the first order of business is the Mayweather-McGregor press conference tour has finally finished.
Mm-hmm.
In just the nick of time, because it was getting to the point where they were basically like, hey, who could be more hateable to the general public? And they were maybe some slurs thrown back and forth. I actually was hoping that it would just keep going, press conferences every single day, until one of them just tapped out.
Well, it was going to get problematic. We knew that. Because these two guys were one-upping each other. When you come out the first day wearing a suit that says, fuck you on it, you leave yourself very little room to kick it up a notch without getting into some serious weird areas. I guess Mayweather was the one who took it there and dropped the hard
Shocker.
F-bomb.
Yes.
So you've got, I'm shocked that two guys that have spent the last like 20 years just getting hit in the head and being supremely violent would maybe say a couple words that they shouldn't.
Would be a little problematic in 2016.
That's the most problematic thing that these guys have done is use words that they shouldn't.
So I'm still excited for the fight. I know there is now a full group out there that's abstaining from all fight things. I hate them both. I'm not going to watch.
You know what? I thought Floyd Mayweather was a genuinely good guy until he dropped
that hard F-bomb.
Yeah.
I watched that time when Stephen A. Smith drove him around Vegas talking about how he was the best, and that sold me.
And how much money he had. Also, Floyd's got to be like the best gambler of all time, too, because I've never seen him with a losing
Twitter,
ticket.
Yeah,
yeah, he's
wins
like
thousands.
Yeah, he's 49-0 in the ring, and he's like 200-0 at the booth.
Well, he once tweeted a loss to prove all the haters wrong that he was actually tweeting losses, but it was like, here's my halftime loss for $1,000. Here's my full game win for $400,000.
Oh, and we asked on the show last week what would happen if McGregor just straight up like put him in a chokehold or just tackled him, just shot at him. Turns out he would lose all his money. There is a clause in the contract. I guess Dana White is not as dumb as I thought he was.
Yes.
Because he said he put a little clause in there and said, hey, FYI, if you do something that's not boxing, I get all your money.
Speaking of which,
it's
Dana White,
standard language.
Story that's not being talked about. He's looking pretty fat.
Yeah.
Like, he's bloated. I don't, and maybe that those fake billions that he got has gone to his head.
I think
and
that's
his stomach. And
I think
his tits.
That's a bad visual. It's an uncoordinated moment. It's his posture. So when he sits, he's got that upper belly that comes out. And then the other thing is, when he laughs, he's been doing a lot of giggling.
Yeah.
You can't look like you're in shape when you're giggling because he just looks like Buddha.
Well, the other telltale sign of an out of shape guy is when he gets to the podium and he has to go double hand lean on the podium because standing takes so much effort. I've been there. Standing is not fun for guys who are overweight, and he's like, I'm going to lean all my body weight on this podium because I cannot stand up anymore.
Teddy Roosevelt did that one time after he got shot delivering a speech, but that's the only reason why. Dana White's only excuse was like he had a couple crullers for breakfast.
Yeah, a couple bear claws stuck in that throat. Before we get to who's back, we also have Lonzo Ball. What shoe is he wearing? Who gives a fuck? But I guess that's the story. That's what happens in the middle of July when you have nothing to talk about. It's NBA Summer League. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, what shoe is Lonzo Ball wearing?
You're in Vegas, so I'm going to call it the choulette wheel that he spins every night before he goes out on the court. And what was it on tonight? Was it on Jordan's and he sprained his ankle?
Yeah.
Bad look for Nike.
Well, it's funny because everyone just says, oh, my God, like Lonzo Ball not wearing Big Baller brand. What a bad look. But it's, I mean, this is all just genius marketing. He's basically just saying, hey, look at all the buzz. If you want to sign me, you still can, and my dad will still sell $500 shoes that don't ship till 2019. Thanksgiving, you'll get them before Thanksgiving 2019.
Jesus wore flip flops, so maybe
it was actually Tevas.
That's right. Yeah. So if Lonzo can come out and drop a triple double in sandals, then I'm a believer. I'm a big Ball believer. I want to give a quick update. I don't think you were in the office when we had this conversation, Big Cat. But I've decided to pivot. I'm done with the dieting thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get into a bulking phase now.
I like it.
So I'm going to put
I'm
going to start lifting heavy,
super heavy.
Shout out Rosillo. Maybe if I need any weightlifting tips, I'll hit you up. But I was talking to Billy about it, and I was asking Billy, like, what are some tips for putting on clean mass, right? And Billy goes, eat a lot of raw eggs. Have you ever had salmonella? I was like, no, never had it. He's like, oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Because apparently, according to Billy, salmonella is like one of those things that if you get it one time, like the chicken pox, you can never get it again. That doesn't sound right to me.
That's definitely not true.
But Billy was
good science
swearing
there
up and down that I should get a small dose of salmonella one time, like
at
the start
of my vaccine
bulking phase.
Right.
Is that true, Billy?
No, because if you get salmonella, then like you don't have to worry about getting it again, so
nope,
you can eat cookie dough and stuff.
Nope, not true.
And
not
you
true
don't have to worry about it.
Not true.
Is that like if you get pregnant, you can never get pregnant again?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Make sure you talk in the mic, Billy. It's a big episode. You're just not talking in the mic. I actually said that to you before. I was like, hey, Billy, big episode. Talk in the mic. Can you talk in the mic?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
there we go.
Yeah,
all good. Right, let's do who's back of the week. Who wants to start? Oh, by the way, so Hank is still out. He'll be back for the Takeys on Friday. We have Milmore in studio. Milmore is going to join us for Mount Rushmore and who's back of the week. Milmore, why don't you start?
All right. My who's back of the week is Ryan Lochte.
Oh,
yes.
Charges
nice
have been dropped. He's Brazilian prison.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's back to what, like 3 years of offseason and swimming?
Yes, yeah. I don't even know. Hey, wait, guys. They do the worlds every year. You don't know how hard it is.
That's right. A little piece of advice for Ryan Lochte. I know that you didn't get in trouble this time, but you should just be living your life as if you were on probation for something.
How pissed is Ryan Lochte? Because we actually threw this out there. We do PR 101 all the time. We said when he had this whole international incident, we're like, hey, Lochte, just go have a kid and everyone will forget about it. You'll say you're maturing. he's got the kid, and now no charges. So is he like, can I just throw this kid down, like, you know, into the river or something, let him float?
Yeah, he might just leave it outside a fire station.
Yeah, and just like the Spartans. Here you go. Yeah, just leave him in the woods.
Yeah, raised by wolves. Or just, hey, put it like
that's
next.
Kind of what Ryan Lochte is. Like, that's like, not, it might be smarter if you let the kid get raised by wolves over Ryan
or
Lochte.
Or have it be raised by dolphins. Dolphins, like, care after humans when they're lost at sea. Imagine what a strong swimmer that kid would grow up to be with Lochte's genes, raised in on the seven seas. Yeah, good for Lochte. I guess he's got a lot to look forward to. His dog's turning 8 this year.
Yeah,
so
again,
he's got to be back on native soil for that. It's a big moment.
Yes, Tuck Everlasting, his dog. PFD, you want to go?
Yeah, my who's back of the week, the Lakers are back.
Oh!
The Lake Show
is
back. So Lonzo Ball has been playing pretty well in the summer league, and so that can only mean one thing, and that's the Showtime Lakers are back.
I'm gonna go one up on that. Magic is back. I don't know if you saw Magic. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers have the best record in baseball, and Magic tweeted, "My Dodgers have the best record in baseball." So it's good to see the Dodgers get into advanced analytics.
When I said Showtime Lakers, I thought first because, like, that specifically means like the Magic era, right? Mm-hmm. Lonzo's almost there. He's not quite as good as Magic.
He's got to put out a couple more summer league games.
They're the Cinemax Lakers right now.
Yeah, the Skinemax.
Skinemax. Yeah,
you want to watch them late night.
There's some. Yeah, the guys kind of look like butts
nerds
sometimes.
Yeah,
David Duchovny might show up on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm. All right, my who's back of the week. I got a couple here. The first one is tweeting mean things about the Mavs is back. So the Mavs, if you remember, the whole fiasco that happened when I think Bleacher Report tweeted about Dirk, and then Mark Cuban flipped out and wrote an email to Adam Silver and said, "Fuck, what the fuck, you guys? Delete this from the internet because
that's how the internet works.
Exactly. You just delete things, and no one knows it ever happened." The Mavs are now tweeting out lowlights first. So they tweeted out Dennis Smith. He missed the dunk, and they're like, here are all the angles in case you miss it. So they're getting ahead of the story.
That would be all time if Mark Cuban emailed Adam Silver to get his own social media person to cease and desist posting that stuff.
Right, exactly. And then the other one I had was the Cubs. The Cubs are back. Actually said they're back. The Quintana trade worked out. Pretty good pitcher. Yep. Sweep, nice little sweep. So the Cubs are back. And also one more, the Aaron Judge, did he fuck up his swing, is fully back.
Yes.
He's like 1-for-14 right now.
I think we called that before the home run derby even started, right?
Yes.
Another who's back of the week, I just took a note of this, college football rivalries.
Ooh.
More specifically, the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry. There is an Ohio State fan named Zach Lawrence. He's been in a coma. He got into a car accident in the Republic of Georgia.
Okay.
Which is, I guess, Russia, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought him back to the U.S. He's been in a coma, and they hooked him up to a machine, and they said, okay, one press of this button means yes. Two presses means no. And they said, do you like Michigan? And he jammed no on it.
I love
immediately.
Those
stories. So, yeah, this guy's, he's on the mend.
Yeah. You're in a coma, but you can still hate the fuck out of Michigan.
I guarantee you that Jim Harbaugh hates this guy that's in a coma right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's going to go with a pillow.
He's going to sneak in there and just pour whole milk into his IV bag.
No, he would definitely not do that because then it would be like he'd become a futuristic quarterback that would beat Michigan 4 years in a row.
That's a good point.
He's just going to go suffocate
It's like the ooze that would get into the turtles when they became the mutant ninja turtles. Yeah,
right. You don't want
to
mess with science like that and start injecting milk into people. All right, let's go to our Mount Rushmore. We have Mount Rushmore of Friends.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you haven't listened to part of my take, it's Mount Rushmore season. It lasts from the end of the NBA playoffs to the start of the football season.
Mm-hmm.
We get really heavy into Mount Rushmore.
There's nothing to talk about, so we just create fake debates and. Yeah. People love them.
I mean, we've gotten really into our fake.
Yes, we love them.
I don't know where the fake stops and the realness starts.
Right. It started as a joke, and then we're like, wait, we actually like debating really stupid things. So, Mount Rushmore Friends. Millmore's going to be involved. Billy Football is going to be involved. Billy Football, would you like to start?
Sure.
Okay. We wanted Billy specifically for this one because he is 18 years old, just graduated high school, so I'm guessing your friends are going to be a little different than ours.
Yeah.
But let's hear him.
So
talking to the mic.
Yeah, I got you. The first one is so the guy who has all the gear, you know, he's got like you go over to his house, he's got like an Xbox One, PS4,
nice,
and all your friends, like he's not really like your best friend, but all your friends just latch onto him just because you want to hang out at his house.
Okay.
He's also the guy who like gets a car first.
Yep.
So then the whole squad just is rolling in his mom's.
So
your
rich friend. You're saying your rich friend.
And then when everyone else gets their license and gets a car, they just stop hanging out with him.
Yeah. Is this guy an only child?
Yes.
All right. Next. So that was two right there.
No.
Oh, that was one combined. Okay.
So then the second one's the friend that your parents don't really like because he, you know, he might be the guy who's got, you know, the fake ID, like they don't really like you sleeping
bad,
over.
Bad influence guy. That's great.
Like
yeah.
it.
Because
like
you
it.
Can blame anything on him. Oh, yeah. Like, oh, it's his idea.
You're always at his house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're at the first guy's house, but you're really at the second guy's house.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, it was nice. Devin. It was Devin's yeah. idea, this whole thing.
All right, number three.
Third guy is the teammate, like the guy you met right after eighth grade in football minicamp that you've just like been like boys with for 4 years.
Okay.
And like, you know, you won a couple championships together. And like the only reason you guys met is through sports.
A lot of shared history, though. Yeah,
different backgrounds.
He's your bro for life.
You guys care.
Oh,
different background.
Very different.
He could call you up in 30 years. You'd help him out.
Yeah.
Okay. Number four.
Okay, so the fourth guy.
By the way, you're not going to talk to this kid for the next, like, 5 years.
No.
You're going to quickly lose touch.
Yeah, he's his boy. Come on.
This is the dude, like, you love to travel with, like, road trip. And he's
okay.
He's low maintenance, and you like the same music.
Just
and
chill,
stuff.
Dude.
Yeah, just
chill, dude.
The guy,
that's
like,
a good one.
You like would drive to California with or something.
Yeah,
and Trey.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
your buddy Trey.
Nice.
Yeah.
He's just kind of a go with the flow kind of guy.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Nice. Good job, Billy. Milmore, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go.
All right.
All right. So I have the friend who's still Smirnoff icing people.
Oh, that's
I got iced in what town was that? That wasn't Sandusky, was it?
It might have been.
No, that was Youngstown. The least like the fewest per capita ices of any city in America. I happen to get iced there.
Yes, one of them. That's the guy who's just living in the past.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he's still planking every once in a while. Yeah. You know, he's still.
Don't you dare talk shit about planking. I'm gonna get Hank back on so fast.
Okay. All right.
All right. Then I have the group texter, the group chat texter.
Yep.
Just adds everybody in no matter what, and it's just your phone just buzzes all day long.
Yes.
Then the friend with a pool.
Oh, nice.
Which is a classic.
Gotta have that. Because
you don't want your own pool, you want just access. Mm-hmm.
When
to
you
a
get
pool.
Older, it's the friend with the boat.
That's same guy on my list. Bad. Yeah. Thanks for saying that.
And then the last one is the friend who orders a shitload of Chinese food at the end of the night.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's always like 50 bins.
Yes.
Of just
way
too much Chinese.
You
food.
Just know if you're close to him at the end of the night, you're gonna eat.
I think that last one was actually just Big Cat.
Yes, I am.
I've been there with Big Cat many times.
I actually did on Friday. I ordered Chinese food and it was like an appropriate amount. I was shocked by myself.
Big Cat is the only person I've been with that's ordered delivery ice cream twice.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was room service. It was room service. That's,
like
I mean,
tubs of ice cream or like
yeah,
bars?
Yeah, it's like Kevin McAllister. Yeah. Two scoops. I'm not driving. All right, PFT, you got yours or you want me to go?
Yeah, I'll go. Okay. The sober friend.
Okay.
So always good for a lift.
Yep.
You know, that guy, maybe he's Mormon. Maybe, you know, for whatever reason, he's taking the weekend off. Maybe he's got an ankle bracelet hooked up or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're out. You're in a jam. You need a guy to pick you up. You got to have the sober friend.
Yep.
Next, okay, I had the friend with the boat, but I'm going to do a last-minute audible. The friend with the truck.
Ooh.
So if you got to move, if you got to make a run to pick some stuff up. I was the friend with the truck for about 5 years.
Yes.
And it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I loved having the truck for tailgating purposes and also just like if I have to haul some weird shit.
But you get called on a lot.
Yeah, you get that call a lot. Plus, you have to help people move. Next one is the friend who's a lawyer.
I have that as well.
You get into any sort of like if it's a mess with your landlord. Or if it's like you get pulled over for speeding and you're like, hey, man, all I have to tell the cops is like, am I being detained, right? And he's like, you're such a fucking idiot.
The best part about the friend who's a lawyer is they never practice the law that you need, but you still just trust their opinion implicitly. You're like, okay, so you're like a bankruptcy lawyer. What do I do if I get caught with weed?
Yeah.
Exactly. He's like, I have no idea, but you're like, I don't care. Just tell me.
Uh-huh. And then my last one is the friend who always wants to start a fight for you way too early.
Yeah.
So at the drop of a hat, like you're like, oh man, I'm so bummed out. I got barbecue sauce instead of sweet and sour. He's like, you want me to kick their ass for you?
Yes.
Let's start some shit.
Okay, so I'm gonna. It's like a. This is like a Fish song. I'm gonna segue the friend who you know will beat the fuck out of everyone else. Mm-hmm. Who you're like, if shit goes down, which it's been a very long time, but you have that one friend. You're like, this guy's crazy, and we're not losing a fight when he's around.
And you never call him like your friend. That's always your boy.
Yeah, that's your guy.
I got my boy.
Yeah,
my boy will come over kick your ass.
All right, so that was my first one. I have the planner. Everyone needs a planner. The guy who's just like, if you're getting older, if it's maybe a bachelor party or like a vacation away, he's the guy who's going to get the hotel or the home, you know, the VRBO. He's the guy who's going to set it up and plan everything. You just like, guess what? And the planner always gets like upset every now and then because like everyone just kind of freeloads off the planner. But you know the planner's not going to stop planning.
No, so the thing is
it's
like
wired into
the planner loves having that in his back pocket to pull out as the ace. Be like, I put who put this all together?
Yeah, I did.
Who put this on me?
Who's the bad guy?
So he's got that in his back pocket. Like, but at the same time, he loves planning shit. So it's not he would get personally offended if anybody tried to take planning. He's like, dude, what? This guy's over here using fucking Airbnb? What? He's a fucking amateur.
Yes. The next one. So that was my second. The next one I have is the athlete. So if you're getting a little older and you're still playing intramural sports, you have that one friend who's still unbelievable at sports.
Yeah, it's me.
You need him on. Seen you play. You didn't make the basketball team. So.
I didn't try out for the basketball team.
You need that one guy who you're like, guess what? He's going to be able to like jump over everyone. He's going to home run every time you play softball, all that stuff. The athlete's important. And the last is the engineer / MacGyver. So he's the guy who's always going to fix shit when we're in a jam. Whether if you're on a boat and something breaks, or if you need to start a fire, or you need to do anything, he's the one who's got it all set up. He's going to fix it right away.
I like having a friend like that, but I don't want that friend to be too good at fixing shit because it'll make me feel inadequate as
but
a dude.
But you get over it after a while, and you're like, it's nice to have the guy who's like, whenever you get in a jam, he's also the car guy. He's the same, one and the same.
Yeah, he comes over and he like fixes what's wrong with the car. He's like, "What? Your dad never showed you how to do this?" And he looks down.
Yeah, it
on
makes you.
You
have it's a trade off. It's basically a trade off of never getting stuck in a really bad jam with that friend, but being emasculated a little bit.
The guy's got like a Mike Rowe tattoo from Dirty Jobs. This is how men should act in America.
I had a couple others that just throw out there, and then we'll let everyone else embrace debate. The friend with benefits. So Billy, you got a couple of those, right, Billy?
No.
Okay. All right. No comment there. Also, it's always good to have the stoner because it's like, you know, you got that one guy who basically just never grows up. It's kind of fun to not only to look at him and be like, hey, I'm still better than you, but also just have like the stoner around.
You're
it's
like, hey,
good time.
I'm going to a concert in a month.
Yeah.
Like, it's the only concert I go to a year. I better get in touch with my stoner.
Right. Exactly. He's been on tour for the last 3 months. He's like, oh, yeah, I got us hooked up. Don't worry about it. Any others that anyone missed?
The girl bro.
Oh, the girl bro. Okay. There you go.
Chick bro.
There you go, Billy.
Bros can be chicks, too. Yeah. It's 2016.
The cool chick that watches sports, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. What about, see, here's one I had originally on the list is the friend who's like a party planner / club promoter. But the thing about that person is they're really nobody's friend. They just act like they're everybody's
friend. Good to have one of those guys. Be like, oh, yeah, I got a guy if we need a table.
Yeah.
Once in a blue moon. I think that was all I had the late bloomer. That's also kind of like the stoner. So you can always like right when you graduate college, you'd be like, that like I might not be doing well, but the late bloomer's doing a lot worse.
Yeah, that's usually the guy that in high school was anti-debauchery of all sorts. He's like, you guys are wasting your lives.
Yeah,
and then they go hard. They go really hard about that second year of college.
Yep. And then it all falls apart. All right, that's Mount Rushmore. We will tweet out those results, and intern Liam's been doing a great job. He's been taking the best Twitter results every single day, and we are going to give away some free shirts. So embrace debate, throw out those friends that we missed, and if you make the board, then you are eligible to win a free shirt. All right, it's time. J.J. Watt, let us go to a place in Wisconsin where Rocky would be jealous to be training at a place like this. J.J. Watt's cabin, his log cabin, where we sat down with him. This is part one.
All right, the long-awaited interview. We have an award-winning listening nation that has been waiting for this. The internet's been waiting for this. It is J.J. Watt from the Houston Texans. We appreciate you letting us into your rustic log cabin.
Yeah. Is this actually where they shot Rocky VI?
Yeah, this is a minimalistic joint.
Yes.
Okay. It's basically the middle of Russia if you don't.
Yes, exactly.
You get everything.
Exactly.
Full size basketball hoop.
Yeah.
Whole enchilada.
So we are here. Let's start with how we got here. The J.J. Watt Foundation. The award winning listeners raised over $55,000.
$60,000. $345,000
for your foundation. So I wanted to talk to you quickly, like a little bit about your foundation. It is for middle school kids.
Yep.
And I don't want you to put a price on a child's life, but how many children do you think we saved with our over $50,000?
You guys saved a lot. It was, as I told you before, it was thoroughly impressive what the award-winning listeners did. But you saved a lot of kids. Let's see here, $60,000 You roughly built, you built a few basketball courts. You bought a lot of jerseys, some new jerseys for kids.
And if they didn't wear clothes, they would die,
Is it all your jersey? Because that would be a nice...
That would be in,
Because then you end up being the number one selling jersey. It's like a little...
Brilliant.
Scheme.
That's like a...
Save that one in your own
pocket. You know who else made children wear uniforms,
Save that one for later. So the foundation, so it helps out middle school kids. Yeah. You get after-school activities.
Yeah, so we basically provide them... It's schools in underprivileged areas. So basically, if they have 60% or more of their kids on free or reduced lunch programs, we go in and we provide whether they need soccer balls and soccer nets or basketball hoops, basketballs, uniforms, wrestling mats, whatever they need, basically to be functioning sport, we give them that.
And people don't know this, but you started that foundation in college, right?
Yeah, I started my last year at Wisconsin, and I was inspired by Myron Roll when he was at Florida State, and I was reading a lot about him, and he had started his own foundation there. So I thought that was really cool because I never even thought about what a college kid could do.
And most college athletes don't start a foundation.
Yeah, and we were hoping to raise maybe $100,000 our first 3 years. They give you a piece of paper and you have to fill it out and say, what do you think you're going to raise? And we were like, man, if we could raise $100,000, that'd be phenomenal. And we've given back over $3 million now. So it's really cool.
That's awesome. So if you enjoy this interview and you didn't donate, you still can. It's the J.J. Watt Foundation. Let's start with how you're doing health-wise. So you had obviously a ton of injuries in 2016. How are you feeling?
I feel great.
Are you retiring?
No, I'm not retiring.
Okay.
I feel great.
Officially, breaking news. J.J. Watt not retiring.
Okay.
Yep, you can put that on the ticker. But this last season was a little, almost like a mini retirement because with the back surgery, you're literally not allowed. There's a whole list of things you're not allowed to do. So couldn't even stand for long periods of time. So you can't be out there with your guys. You have to go through a certain protocol. So I was back here for over a month during the season. And so that was really hard. Obviously, you got to watch your guys, but then it also gives you a chance for me to really kind of fall in love with the game again and realize what you're missing when you're not out there.
Mm-hmm. Perspective.
Yeah, it's all about perspective.
When you were gone, when you were sitting out and you watched your defense play out there, they actually played really well this
year. They did.
Was there a small part of you that was like, oh shit, maybe they don't need me as much as I thought they did?
No, I think that's a good sign. I think that for them to be able to go out there and play the way they did and overcome adversity and go out there and dominate, it was just that much more exciting because knowing you'd watch the games and you'd be like, okay, this is a situation where I want to go out there and make that play and just seeing ways that I could help them even more. But you talk about perspective again, it also gives you perspective. When I got to go back and be on the sidelines and watch those guys and see the ups and downs of a game from a viewer's perspective instead of a player's perspective, I think that definitely helped me understand when you need to say certain things, when you need to back off, and then certain times where it's somebody needs to make a play. And I feel like that's the job.
You get to watch the All 22 also. We're all 22 guys.
Yeah.
We're film
Big
guys.
Time.
Of course. Yeah. Break it down.
NFL doesn't release it fast enough.
No, X's
and O's. We need it every time. Do you think, did Coach Vrabel tell you that you got to earn your job back?
I didn't ask.
Are you a starter? Do you think you're a starter?
That's a good question.
Because it's been a while.
I know. During OTAs, I was, but now you're in my head a little bit.
Yeah.
Did he take away your Texan sticker on the side of your helmet?
Got to earn it back. I have my name across the front of my
Yes.
Big case. Worry about the name on the front, not the one on the back.
I always wonder this because it's like a human nature thing, right? You are injured. You obviously want your team to win, but is there a small, tiny part of you that's like, damn, like this? Like PFT said, like they're doing really well without me. Like, maybe I'm not needed as much. I feel like that would just be a natural, just deep down feeling.
Yeah, if I went out and Hank stepped in real quick and we had, like, the number one show that we've ever had, I would probably try to kill Hank.
It's just a competitive nature. Right.
No, I think because I think because you know what you can bring to the table. So, like, if I was coming back as a lesser version of me, then I'd say, shit, yeah, I'm actually not going to be – these guys are going to be a hell of a lot better without me. But knowing – the way that we went about things and the way that I'm going to come back, you don't feel that nearly as much. But I could see how you would think that. But nah, it was, you just take more pride. It's so much fun to watch those guys play and to watch them have a blast out there, and you just want to be a part of it again.
So are you 100%?
Yeah, I feel great.
Okay. So are you back to number 35 in the NFL rankings?
What a joke. Yeah.
Yeah? I mean, you didn't play, but you're that much of an impact.
Are you saying that you should have been higher?
I feel like my couch time was really... Obviously, the guys saw what I was doing on the couch and my cheering on the sidelines must have really paid off to make the list.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, take as much credit for it as you can.
Yeah.
Where would you put yourself on the list?
Not on it. Why would I be on it? I only played three games. There's no reason for me to be on the list at all.
So you should be cut?
From the list, yeah.
No, from, but I mean, then you're not one of the best players on the Texans either, right? Because you only played three
games. I only played three games. You can't be one of the best players on the team if you only played three games.
So you're going to volunteer to take a pay cut?
No. Ooh. Would you?
Probably.
No.
I guess I'm JJ Watt.
More accountable than you
are. If I'm the JJ Watt everyone thinks I am, I'd probably take $1.
That means I go out and play this year and earn
extra. Yeah, so you're going to get extra sacks.
Credit. I'm gonna get
one
extra
and a half.
Credit. Yeah, extra credit.
I got it.
So you got to get like 35 sacks this year.
That's a good number. Yeah, it's a good number.
What is the number that you go for?
I did that one year, and it was one of the biggest, one of the things that I wish I never would have done is one year after my first year in the league, or after my first defensive player of the year, I had a good year, and I was very close to hitting 20 sacks, 20 batted balls, and 20 tackles for loss. I was only like four batted balls away. I had the tackles for loss, I had the sacks, and I was doing an interview the next year, and somebody brought that up, and I said, yeah, it would be really cool to create a 2020 club.
Mm-hmm. And you would be the only member in it?
I wasn't. I didn't make it. But I was like, I'd like to. That's a goal. I think it'd be really cool to do that. And then obviously for the rest of that next season beyond, everybody's like, well, he didn't hit it. And everybody compares you to that. And so I never put numbers out anymore, because then all people do is bring up those numbers and they don't actually watch.
If you shoot for the moon and you fall short, you'll be a star, though.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant quote.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense astronomically, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can skip it.
At what point, so if you're going for the quarterback, at what point do you say, like, I'm going to bail and try to bat this ball down?
It's tough. So when you actually put your hands up is when his front hand comes off the ball. So, like, when a quarterback's playing the ball and his front hand comes off, now a good quarterback can pump fake you with his front hand, and you're screwed. But when his front hand comes off the ball, that's basically when I know, okay, I better get my hands up because I'm not going to get there.
And then do you do anything like extra? Do you like put your hands up and then move them at the last second? Any kind of like technique to batting balls?
Yeah. So
I feel like there's a technique.
Oh, yeah. There's a technique, but it's also big guesswork. Like if you actually watch the film, like you said, all 22, 95% of the time I look like a moron. Sometimes I'm on the other side, the quarterback's throwing that way, and I'm jumping. Like, sometimes I look like an idiot.
Right.
But there is definitely a technique. You watch his eyes, you watch where his arm's going, you try and move your hands with it. And then something we've started to work on, it's funny, because we work on OTAs, you work on batting the ball every single day. And after a while, it's the same drill every day, you're batting the ball in the air. So now we're trying to, like, angle your hand the right angle so you can pick
so
somebody can pick it.
So what's the
limp wrist?
I don't have it perfected yet. I don't know it. Yeah. So yeah.
That's my dream. I think Coach Rabel just trying to get those wrists. Nice.
I think it would be such a cool thing if you bat a ball at the line of scrimmage, obviously you knock it down. But I think a one-handed pick at the line of scrimmage would be one of the coolest.
You've never done that?
No, there's
So you're gonna do it this year. So if you don't do it,
exactly.
It'd be a big
discipline. Yeah, that in 2020.
Do they check defensive players for stick 'em? That's what you need.
They do, actually.
Yeah.
So you just
never your gloves, though. Only they check your body.
So you need to stick them on your right hand and just kind of like don't, you know, maybe just use fists and then open it right at the last second.
So when you're playing like against Blaine Gabbert and you're trying to bat his pass, do you have to like put your hand where his eyes aren't because he's going to miss
right.
by so much?
Like really, like almost like on the ground.
Yeah, on the ground.
Yeah.
That's a little trick. Like, you can use that one
trick.
Next
Thank
year.
You.
Yeah.
Just do a touchdown dance for me when you score a touchdown.
What dance?
Bring back the Dougie.
Yeah.
We haven't done the Dougie. Or no, we brought back the Macarena. Yeah. So you got to do the Macarena.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, or that's been out just long enough to kind of come back in. Yep. Right?
You should, if you want street cred, and you need some, because we're going to get to that in a second, you should do the poop dance, where you just like pretend the football's a big shit.
Ooh,
that's the Randy Moss kind
of. Or you can jack off the football.
Yeah, also do that.
I'm feeling that one may land in the final.
And then facial to the crowd.
Yeah, that'll be good.
We got more JJ Watt coming up, but before we do that, I wanted to give you guys a free $10. How am I going to do it? It's SeatGeek. They are the best place to purchase tickets online, whether you're going to a summer concert, a baseball game. We got NFL coming back up. College football, SeatGeek has it all, and it is super easy. You just go to the SeatGeek app. They grade every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. And if you put in the promo code TAKE, you get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. That's $10 straight up off. I'm giving you $10 to go see your favorite baseball team with SeatGeek. We always use SeatGeek wherever we go. When we're on the road, we're trying to go to events, SeatGeek has us hooked up every single time. We know that we can confidently go on the app, check it out, find the best seats, and boom, we're in the game right there. You don't have to get a paper ticket or anything like that. SeatGeek has it all. So go right now. Download the free SeatGeek app. Enter promo code TAKE. That's TAKE. Promo code TAKE for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Our friends at SeatGeek are the best. Do it right now. Download that SeatGeek app. Here is more J.J. Watt.
So, like I said, the reason we're here is for the J.J. Watt Foundation, but the backup reason we're here is the Hey J.J.
Yeah.
First question, do you hate us?
Yeah.
Second question, why do you hate us?
Yeah. How much do you hate us?
I don't hate you. I will say that. I don't hate you.
You have hated us.
Yeah, you guys, I got to get to it.
Okay, all right.
At the beginning of all that, I will definitely say over the course of it, my feelings have definitely changed on it. In the beginning of it, obviously annoying, because I wasn't a podcast listener. I didn't know anything about it. So, of course, in the beginning, you're like, are these guys just being assholes just for the sake of being assholes? Am I an asshole? Like, all these different things. So, in the beginning, it was just frustrating, annoying, all that stuff. And then the farther I got into it, I mean, it's lasted almost over a year now, right?
It's a long time.
It's been a while. I was like, okay, the joke's over. Like, it's not that funny anymore to me. It was fun. Then there was a point after I was annoyed, it became funny.
These are
pretty good. Like,
yes.
These guys are actually coming up with some funny stuff. And then now it's gotten to the point where I'm just like, okay, I'm just so indifferent to it.
It is what it is.
It's over.
So we, to give you a little background of how it happened, we actually, like, we never told people to go do that. We started the Hey JJ segment on our podcast because of your social media presence, and it's very pristine. So we thought we'd find something problematic with everything you tweeted.
Yeah, I think you gave an interview and you said that on the internet people are too negative and they can find an issue with anything.
Yes.
And so then you would tweet something out like you delivering a cake or something to your first grade teacher, for example. Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, hey, JJ, you don't think that second grade teachers are
Hey, JJ, some people are lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, JJ,
and that was the funny part.
Some people are in ketosis and can't eat carbs.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the point where I was like, oh, okay, I get it. Yeah. This is funny.
So it kind of snowballed into something that we haven't done that segment on the show in probably a year, maybe.
It's been a while.
It snowballed into something we don't really control anymore. But hopefully the award-winning listeners will listen to this and figure out what they want to do on their own. Do the right thing.
Yeah. It's like the crying Jordan. It will eventually just, as long as you don't, get mad about it, it will go away.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's on every single tweet ever.
So. Right. So before the Hey JJ, did you hate us then? Because we've written about you for a long time.
Yeah.
And this is actually kind of the crux of what I've wanted to get to forever is your social media and your interviews. You're like Captain America. So I guess the question is like, is that how you, do you ever like take a step back and be like, this is kind of corny or?
So there have been points and I think, one of the, as you go through, no matter who you are, as you go through life, you learn both about yourself, both about everybody else. And so one of the reasons I was the way that I am, or I am, whatever you want to say it, first of all, I'll say there's most definitely posts that you regret. There's things you say that you regret. There's interviews you regret. There's always going to be that because you're growing up. I mean, I'm a kid in my 20s going through all this stuff, and you're posting stuff on social media where a normal kid may post it and 10 people look at it and like it, but then I'm posting it, and if it was a regrettable post, it's out there forever.
What's a regrettable post?
I mean, there's a lot of different things. There's whether it's you post a shirtless selfie, and you're like, why the hell would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, you look back now, and you're like, guy, like, you're an idiot.
Okay, so that's fair.
Or like one when you're driving and you're blatantly violating texting and driving laws.
Yeah.
When did I post
that?
When
you post a selfie of yourself driving.
I'm not gonna hate on you for that because
I may or may not have
reported
it to the Houston Police Department.
Was I for sure driving?
You were behind the wheel of a car.
Was I parked?
I can't say for sure, but it looked like you were driving.
50's like a mini narc with that stuff.
That's
not a mini
narc.
That's
fair.
Yeah,
I was looking out for the driver.
But if I was parked, then it's a different story. But I will say, it's back to the point. Yeah, there's of course things over time that I look back and I'm like, geez, man, like, you got to get it together. But the reason, the Captain America look and all that. So as I grew up here. I grew up watching Reggie White. I grew up watching Brett Favre, all these guys, and obviously worshiped the Packers growing up because that's what you do in Wisconsin.
Are you an owner?
No.
Are you parents?
No.
That'd be a conflict of interest.
No, that would be a conflict of interest.
True.
I don't even know if that's legal.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also grew up watching, so after my most recent contract that I signed, I also grew up watching guys like Albert Haynesworth and Jamarcus Russell, who get these big contracts, who get all this money, who fans adore and go out and buy their jerseys and everything, but then they never pan out. And I don't know why, if that's because they didn't work hard, they weren't at that level, whatever it may be. But I always wanted fans to know that if they were going to buy my jersey, if they were going to pay money, and if the team was going to pay me all this money, I wanted to make sure that they knew that I was going to give them every dollar worth of what they were getting. And now, did I take that a little bit too far? Sure, maybe, definitely. But coming along, I always would rather err on the side of that than the side of being lazy or being seen as a guy who didn't deserve or didn't earn what he was getting. So there's a balance there, and I've definitely worked to try and find that balance over time. And I'm not going to say that everything I did along the way was right. There's no doubt that there are some things that I look back and you'd like to do differently, but that's how you learn. That's how you grow.
So I have a theory, and you can tell me if it's a correct theory or not. But I think how your career has gone with the social media and this image that has kind of gotten blown up and had that backlash, which I was part of and a lot of people were part of, it happened where you started off just being a kid from Wisconsin, which, you know, Wisconsin, I went to school in Madison. Wisconsin people are humble. They work hard. Great people. And the media kind of, like, took that and blew it up a little itself, like the pizza story, the pizza delivery story. You delivered pizzas as a side job.
Right.
And then it became J.J. Watt, like, didn't have money, and he was delivering pizzas so that he could, like, eat.
Right.
So, and then I think that, then you fed into that, and then it became this whole Captain America thing.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And even the pizza story in itself got blown up in the fact that there were reports coming out that I went back to my car and cried, and there's all these
different, right.
And I'm like, that was never a part of it. And so... And then there's stuff like that. So you have to think about it like this. If I do an interview, let's say about this cabin. I talked about the cabin. I did one interview about the cabin.
Yes.
And I said, in that interview, I said, my off season this year is going to be a little bit minimalistic because I have less going on. I bought a cabin back in Wisconsin. So I never actually called the cabin minimalistic, which is, and for fair enough, I said words that can get twisted into that, which is fine. But I did one interview, and that's one sentence of one interview. And then that gets turned into all of this about the cabin.
One
sentence in my entire life gets turned into an entire thing where people think I'm living a rocky lifestyle in Wisconsin, then they find out it's a big cabin, and I'm like, I never said it was a small cabin. I never said it was a big cabin, but I never said it was a small cabin.
That's a perfect example, because I think that then, so the media kind of takes that, blows it up.
Right.
And I think there's part of, you know, you obviously fed into it too, because it was part of the image that sold, you know, made you a superstar. And then I come along and, you know, and PFT and a lot of other people breaking you down, which probably isn't totally fair.
I don't know. I wouldn't say we broke him down. I just wrote, like, a scholarly article that compared you to Hitler. Like, that's...
Totally justified.
If you want to disagree with it, I've got all my sources cited. You're more than welcome to peer review it.
Now, I said you were trolling us at one point because of the text that your brother sent you about perspective looking at all your trophies. You wrote that text yourself, didn't you?
No, that one was real. See, I think a part of all this too is like you said, Wisconsin people, down home, small town people. There is a big part of me that is that.
Right.
So it's not. Like this is all super fake and everything.
Okay. So this is we're getting somewhere here.
But
you're like 98% of what you put out there, but you put out 100% of it. So you never put out the 2%, and that's where I come in and I'm like, okay, this guy can't, like, I know him. Like, you're still a regular guy. You probably, you know, drink beer and bullshit with your friends.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like we were talking about the Texans defense, like, there's probably a little small part of you that's like, damn, I wish I was out there, whether you want to admit it or not. Like, those little pieces that make everyone human, we never got to see.
Right. And that's also part of, like you said, everybody wants to hear they want to make the story real. And so then it becomes that. But I will, obviously, there's a little bit of that on me as well. But I think that as you get more famous and more rich, people just assume that you couldn't have had that background because you're rich and famous now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yes, I'm fortunate to have money now. I live in a very nice house. But it doesn't change the fact that I came from the small town humble. And it's not like all of a sudden that's gone just because now you get to have followers and you get to have money and fans.
I think that's fair. So in other words, the fake news media twisted your words, made you into something that you're not.
No, it's breaking the whole thing down.
It's fascinating to me because it really is like every single like you, the media that, you know, gloms onto you and says you're Captain America, the media that breaks you down, everyone has like a small piece to do with the puzzle.
Right.
And everyone's like kind of right, but also a little bit wrong.
Right. And if I wanted to go out there and correct every single article that's ever come out, I would be correcting your articles, I'd be correcting regular articles. But every time I've talked about the cabin since, like, the minimalistic cabin comment, I've tried to correct that publicly, but you're never going to get headlines.
Well, now
for,
it's corrected.
It's you're never
now it's corrected. On the record.
That.
It's actually cabin, very nice. Yeah. Very nicest house in America.
Yeah. Beautiful house. We actually have a list of some of the things that you might have regretted. We're going to get to it. This is going to be a two-part interview, so we're going to get into the second part. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, so make sure you tune in to the second part, because we have a, it's a good list. I went through.
All right.
We went through. It's a good
that'll
list.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be fun for you. I wanted to talk to you quickly, though, about college and your college experience, mm-hmm. because you were a two-star recruit, right. and you know that's one of those another situation where I think you talking about it probably gets blown up a little, but it is impressive to go from a two-star recruit to a $100 million man. Was there ever a time between Central Michigan walking on at Wisconsin where you're like, it's over, like I can't do this?
That's honestly the reason I made it, because there wasn't that. And that the only reason that is because my parents were behind me so strongly. So when I decided to leave Central Michigan, which was after my first game at Central Michigan.
Decided to leave after your first game?
Yeah, after.
Because they didn't throw you the ball?
No.
Were you a diva wide receiver?
Yeah, you were kind of.
Sure.
You were actually Keyshawn. Sure.
You probably were a number of the teens, didn't you?
Yeah. I was 82.
You thought you were going to catch the ball, and you were like, throw me the damn ball.
I thought I was going to play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they ran a spread offense. I was a starter. I was a starting tight end, which is fair. But you played 15 games, and obviously you're going through training camp and everything. And I saw that it wasn't going. They were never going to use a tight end. It wasn't, and they also had moved Joe Staley, who's a phenomenal player. They had moved him from tight end to tackle. They had moved some other guys from tight end to tackle. I kind of saw the writing on the wall. They were going to try and move me from tight end to tackle.
That's an old school Maction move.
Which
just get the big guy in and throw him on.
The athletic guy who can play tight end.
Yeah, and just feed him. Secretly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we'll throw you balls.
Milkshakes.
Oh, yeah. Actually, we like you.
So after my first game, we played at Kansas. I remember we went out by the bus after the game, and I said, "This isn't for me. I have much bigger dreams than playing 15 plays a game as a tight end." So I told my parents. I said, "Let's start figuring out how this all works, what the process is, and I want to transfer." At that time, my parents could have said, "You have a full scholarship. We can't afford to send you to another school. We can't afford for you to walk on somewhere." But they told me, "If this is what you really want to do and this is what you really believe in, we're behind you 100%." But they can only afford 1 year. So we all knew the whole time that they could only afford 1 year of college. So I basically had to get a scholarship, or that was it. There was no other choice. So that's when it set the wheels in motion. And me knowing basically my back was against the wall from that standpoint, left no doubt in my mind. I was never going to let my parents down. I wasn't going to let them down, and I wasn't going to let myself down. So I basically gambled on myself in that situation, and it all turned out well.
Yeah. When the coach gave you your scholarship, did they do it in like one of these big gender reveal things that you see on YouTube now?
No, that wasn't cool.
Well, it was Bielema, so he probably did it on the toilet.
Or on like a blackjack table.
Just like, they didn't, two flushes if JJ gets a scholarship.
Or like, here are three chips that I just won. Yeah. Go spend on your education.
No, they didn't have like the big, like the Instagram and stuff back then. So there was no big reveals. It was just, he was like, "You guys got a scholarship."
What was Bielema like as
a coach?
Good.
He was good. I mean, we obviously had a lot of success. It was fun. Our staff then was unbelievable. We had Coach Bielema as a head coach. We had Paul Christ, who's now the head coach there as our offensive coordinator. We had Dave Dorn, who's now NC State's head coach. Mm-hmm. We had Chris Ash on the staff, who's head coach at Rutgers. We have Charlie Partridge, who was the head coach at FAU. Like, we got guys on that staff.
Barry Alvarez just like poking his head.
Yeah, exactly. You got
Wisconsin not to pay any of the guys.
It's
when they go somewhere.
Incredible, man. Yeah. So it's wild to see how good of a staff we had, and we look back and we were one game away from being undefeated.
So I was at that game at the Rose Bowl against TCU. Did you? No, that was
two games away from being on the field.
Are you still mad at Bielema for not running John Claymore?
Man,
because I am.
It was tough, but I mean, I also have to be mad at myself because we let him score. I mean,
but
I
not that
what
much.
Was the finals like 1917?
Yeah,
it wasn't that bad. But
they just the whole second half.
I'm mad.
It was
at
like, why the hell? Like, why haven't we been doing this?
I'm mad at Tank Carter because that dude played lights out.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember, but Tank Carter. I don't know what he's doing now. I don't know if he made it to the league ever or anything. But that day, that guy was everywhere on the field. So,
One of my all-time worst takes, I bet all my friends that John Clay would be a Heisman finalist.
I mean,
it's a fair bet, though.
It's a pretty bad take by me.
Yeah. Big Cat gets excited about stuff a lot.
Yeah,
and then
of course. Yeah, the running back who's kind of overweight, not that fast.
Rondin.
He's going to be there. He's going to be a finalist.
Who's the next Rondin?
Yeah. Well, the problem is at Wisconsin, they have so many good running backs all at once. No, mm-hmm. Not one guy's ever going to get all the carries.
Right.
I mean, Melvin had the unbelievable year, and that was awesome. But for the most part, we have a stable of at least three at a time. So it's hard for there to be a next Ron Dane because nobody's going to carry the ball that many times a day.
Did you know right away after that game you were going pro?
Which one, the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
No. No, I honestly didn't. And I didn't know for the next couple of days. So how it all went, obviously after the Rose Bowl, you go back to your room and you hang out with all the guys and you have a couple pops.
Yeah.
I cried at the podium, which
cried
was, yeah,
that's, yeah, I
remember
that sucks
that. Still. Yeah.
You had your gloves
But that,
all the way up to your,
they brought you,
it
they
was
brought
ridiculous
me from the field.
You looked ridiculous.
Absolutely.
No offense.
But they bring you from the field on a golf cart to the podium.
Right.
There is no chance to shot. There's
right
nothing. You are
right
going. And I'm over there thinking about everything that goes on. So a little bit of story behind this. Every time I drive into Madison from here, there's this house I drive past. And when I was in, before I went to college, it had the Rose Bowl years on it every year, every year. And so every time I drove past, I always saw that. And I was like, the last one was in 2001. I thought it'd be unbelievable if we could be that team. And so all I could think about after that game was the fact that that flag wouldn't have us on it as champions. And like, that's where it all came from, all that emotion, knowing how much it meant to Wisconsin, knowing how many fans traveled to see us, knowing that I could have played better to help us win, and it all just came out on a podium on national TV.
A lot of perspective, almost
yeah
too much perspective.
Yeah, too much, overwhelming perspective.
What was going through my head at that moment was I spent like $200 buying wine in the Rose Bowl, and I'm 2,000 miles from home.
You drink wine?
Yeah, they were.
Take
a
beer card, JJ.
So the beer lines were so long, so we just start. Once you start drinking wine, it's like, all right, we're just gonna get wine drunk all day.
Pretty much.
It got a little crazy. Yeah, it got a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
So that was, and then I went to the next one against Oregon. Same thing.
Geez.
Another like $3,000 down the drain.
So like you said, you're a Wisconsin guy through and through. Have you seen Making Murder?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
That's wild.
Where were you on the night of October 31st, 2005?
Mm.
I know I was nowhere near a burn yard. Or a,
it was Halloween.
Mm.
What year was it? 2005?
2005.
October 31st.
I
wasn't
in the
Wisconsin
Halloween
high school football playoffs.
Mm.
Mm.
No, not good enough.
My alibi is starting to struggle
that hurts
here.
Yeah.
Okay, because
yeah
Brendan Dassey just got out of jail today.
Huh.
Did he really? Today?
They overturned the conviction a second time.
He's going to get
to really?
SummerSlam.
Yeah, we were actually thinking about
it. Because I see they keep going back and forth on it.
Yeah, so we were thinking about going up to his house and picking him up and taking him down here to meet you today.
I mean, that would have been good. We could have a great
surprise
conversation.
Man. Great surprise.
Yeah.
What's
a nice surprise.
Last,
hey, JJ, why do you hate us? Here's
yeah
a convicted murderer.
Yeah. Last,
he's been in jail for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Last Madison question. What is your favorite bar? It's a loaded question.
I like Wando's.
Okay.
I like Wando's.
All
yeah
day.
I like Wando's. I think, I mean, it was a good place. Those guys were always really good to us, and
what do you
a lot
mean
of fun.
Gave you free drinks?
No.
No violation.
No.
NCAA,
like
violation.
Ohio State gave free tattoos, but you're getting free beer up there, huh?
I just
self-reported
on
those fish bowls fly off the shelves.
Yeah. Interesting.
That interview was brought to you by the Black Tux. There's only so many opportunities in life to wear a tux, so when your big day or special event rolls around this summer, look just as great as you feel with suits from theblacktux.com. With high-quality rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your doorstep, the Black Tux gives you a new way to rent. Plus, with their free home try-on, you can see the fit and feel the quality of your suit months before your event. And the best part is, it's completely done online. We all love the internet. TheBlackTux.com lets you create your look or choose from tons of stylist-selected outfits. Suits like these usually retail for $1,200, but at The Black Tux, they start at just $95. If you have any questions or issues, their expert customer care team has your back every step of the way. And after ordering, your suit's going to arrive 14 days before your event. And if anything is less than perfect, The Black Tux will send you a free replacement right away. When your event's over, drop the rental back into the mail. Shipping is free both ways. How easy is that? Stand out at your event for the right reasons with The Black Tux. And to get $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/PMT. That's theblacktux.com/PMT for $20 off your purchase.
All right, we hope you enjoyed part one with JJ Watt. Part two is coming up on Wednesday. We went through every single regrettable social media moment in JJ Watt's career and asked him to rank how much he regretted it. It got a little uncomfortable, but it was a lot of fun.
Maybe for him.
Yeah,
it got
for
really
him
comfortable
yeah
for me.
Yeah, we got
I've been
very
waiting. I've been waiting for 4 years to just go down that list with JJ.
Yes. So we did the whole list. We talked about some other stuff, football, some good stuff. JJ, I don't think he's going to be our friend, but I think that was a really fun interview and we accomplished mm-hmm everything that we kind of were building up to.
I think he doesn't hate us. And we
as
don't
much
and we don't hate him.
We got to really clarify as
yeah
much.
I mean, we're definitely on thin ice with each other.
Right.
But that's okay.
But
that's
before
how,
we were in water,
that's
right?
How
we were in the deep end.
That is how
anyone who's ever been in a good relationship knows that's what it's built on, is knowing that you might just piss the other person off
right.
and have it all come crashing down on you at a moment's notice.
It's fun. Yeah. We're the couple that fights.
It's edgy. Oh, yeah. We love the chaos.
Yeah. All right. So that's part two is coming Wednesday, and the takeies are coming on Friday, so get excited for that. Let's do some segments. First up, we have talking tennis. Federer won his 8th Wimbledon, or I don't even know.
It was a lot. I don't know. Like 19th overall?
Here's what
I don't know. I heard a lot of numbers that sounded impressive.
He's
being
the best of all
around.
Time. Here's my favorite part about Federer is he's the GOAT, but he's also the classiest. So a lot of class getting thrown around when we talk about Federer.
The gentleman. The way that just the smoothness with which he plays.
Yeah.
That is a guy that you want to be dating your daughter.
We also had a breakdown by Cilic. I think that's how you pronounce his name. The guy who Federer beat. He was crying, and he got his man card taken by Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
Took his man card. Did you see that?
I did see that.
He tweeted,
he like
get
it.
A grip, Cilic. You don't sob like a baby because you're losing. That's pathetic.
Yeah.
Man card.
Hi, I'm Joe Buck. Hand over your man card.
Piers Morgan also said a few years ago that it was gutsy how Ronaldo was fighting through an injury and crying on the pitch, and that was the true champion.
Piers
so.
Morgan also said, I want to die at some point,
yeah.
which is real a great thing to just retweet
yes.
on special
Every
occasions.
Now and then.
Yeah. Here's the thing about crying. Like, some people were like, there's no crying in tennis.
I disagree. Oh, there is.
I think that if there's one sport where crying is acceptable, if not mandatory, it's tennis at some point. In fact, if Federer had wept.
He did.
Then, yeah.
Yeah,
so
he
there
did.
You, go.
You have to cry
then
in tennis.
Then he's the classiest gentleman of all time to
right.
play the game.
Also, I think Venus lost.
Did she?
Yeah, she lost.
Oh.
So.
Well, I also saw that that Federer, I guess they do the mixed doubles after the men's final, which is really interesting. So
yeah.
I guess it's fun to watch because it's like,
Okay,
I'm finished.
And that was talking tennis. I'm happy that we can not pay attention to tennis for a while until the U.S. Open comes. Or
Whatever
no, the clay
is.
One. We already said the clay.
The clay. We are the clay fans.
Roland Garros. Yeah, because whoever wins, and it's always Rafa. Mm-hmm. He just rolls around and he gets.
It looks
like he like hooked up with a chick who like has too much bronzer on.
It's Rafael Nadal. It's not Rafa. We don't know him. No, that's too familiar for. It's like when people started calling Buffon the Italian goalie, Gigi Buffon.
Yeah,
Bob Lee Gigi. Was the one that started this. No, his name's Giovanni or Gianluca or whatever.
Gigi.
His name is.
Do you see they're selling the Roger, but instead of the G, it's an 8. The whole Jeter thing.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's nice.
The G is. Oh, that actually works
yeah,
better than
the
respect.
It does. It's the dumbest fucking trend in the sports, but I love it.
I think I just invented an awesome tennis shirt. It's a white tennis shirt, and on the back, it's got like the clay from Roland Garros.
Yeah.
The orange. It's already
just
printed on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right. Just like splattered all over. Yeah. Wow, I won the Roland Garros.
Je keep le Roland Garros. I surrender.
We have a humans versus the sun. This is an ongoing debate. The sun won. So yeah. it was a tie game. The Rangers and the Royals were playing and fly ball, easy fly ball out to right field. Sun did what the sun does, got into the eyes of the right fielder, boom, dropped the ball, game over.
That's the first time that the sun has negatively affected in right field a very important game for the Rangers.
Yes.
Never happened before.
Never happened. Hey, by the way, speaking of the sun, you're deep into Sun Truthers.
Yes.
So you want to lay a little of that on us?
Yeah, I found probably the greatest conspiracy theory of all time. Just stumbled into it on Friday. I was looking on NASA's Instagram, just reading the comments, which are they're a real treat, the people that comment there. There's a big conspiracy theory out there that the sun is not actually hot.
And so when you said that to me, I was like, come on, that's crazy. And then you came back with, but why is space cold? And I have no response.
Mm-hmm. Boom. If you go,
like,
yeah,
why is space cold? If the sun is hot, why is space cold?
Yeah, the moon is like, I don't know, like
freezing.
16 degrees or something.
Right.
It's really chilly up
right.
there. So,
the frozen tundra
of the moon. Yeah, I mean, explain it to me. How would that be possible? I am all on board. It's a big time. The sun is probably the biggest fraud of all time if it's cold.
I like this trend that everyone's just losing their mind and starting to
question everything.
These facts that are very simple.
Yeah.
Like gravity. What? How does gravity? Gravity shouldn't be real.
Gravity's
right?
not real. Yeah. Yeah. We just it's because we all choose to believe in gravity.
Right.
We need to all red pill ourselves and then we'll go floating off the surface. But yeah,
into the cold space because the sun's not warm.
That's right. The sun's actually not hot. It just knows how to take flattering pictures of itself on Instagram.
So does the sun?
the sun knows how to work angles. It's very photogenic.
You got to get high on the the sun probably takes a million selfies a day just to get that one hot pic.
All from that tall angle where their neck looks.
Are there are things living on the sun?
No, but you could.
Okay,
you could live on the sun.
Yeah. Okay.
But then it's funny watching any thread about whether or not the sun is hot or cold. It devolves into them being like, well, actually, it emits a lot of heat. So if you were to get really close to it, it would burn the shit out of you and you'd die. And
but once
you'd
you're on it.
But if you were on the surface of the sun, and you'd be fine.
Got it.
You could have a picnic on the surface
of
the sun.
Got it. So the sun is like the final boss in Mario.
Yeah. So
you got to get in that nice angle where he can't get you.
Right. So that Smash Mouth song was like basically about a day in paradise.
Yeah, there we go. We have our new segment that's back. Well, I don't know if we did it last time, but Talking Thrones. So Game of Thrones is back. We don't watch Game of Thrones.
But every single other sports blogger or sports media person does.
Yes. So how does the Game of Thrones work with the 2017 Detroit Lions? That will be a blog sometime soon.
Yes. If the NBA free agents were members of different houses in Westeros, which houses would they be on?
I actually, the Game of Thrones whole phenomenon, kind of, it makes me laugh because the Game of Thrones fans are very triggered online. I admit that I will probably at some point in my life watch all of the Game of Thrones and like all of it. I am a binge watcher. I only watch shows that I can binge. Mm-hmm. So I just haven't gotten into game. I like to see that it goes through, like, okay, they actually did finish the whole series.
Yep.
Now I can start.
I don't like how there's so many storylines that are simultaneously going. I'm a guy, all right? I understand like one thing happening. That's why guys
you're either angry or happy.
That's why guys like porn so much.
Right.
They're fucking. That's the storyline.
They're fucking or coming.
And then it's over. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
When the guy explodes, it's over. It's pretty easy.
You can close your laptop.
Exactly. But like and the NFL is the same way. Like there are only 32 teams with all these storylines. It's like not that much to keep track of.
Right.
My mind is simple.
I cannot wait for when I get into Game of Thrones and I start. We'll start doing. You know what? We'll do it like 2019. We'll start doing Game of Thrones recaps because the world needs a Game of Thrones podcast. I don't think that exists.
It doesn't.
Either way, I want to be at peace with the Game of Thrones. They were really mad.
Can I just
say? They were mad all day.
Can I just say, this season sucks so far. Big disappointment.
You're going to get people mad at you. I learned the hard way that if you say one negative thing, I did the same thing with Breaking Bad. I watched it 2 years after because here's the beauty. If you don't watch even one single episode, nothing can be spoiled for you because you don't know any of the characters.
Mm-hmm. And you make a good point. We'll wait till the book comes out.
Right, exactly. I'm going to read the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
It will probably be better anyway.
Yeah,
all right, we have next up a PR 101 for Deontay Foreman, who is the third-round pick for the Texans, arrested on marijuana and weapons charges.
Mm-hmm.
Yeesh, don't want to do that right before camp when you might not make the team.
Well, he's going to make the team. He's a third-round pick, and he played pretty well at Texas. But the big disappointment is he's a Charlie Strong guy, right?
Yeah.
So it was weed and a gun. He violated two of the five core values right there.
So he had no guns.
He's only got three core values left to go.
Urban has that too. We took that tour of Ohio State, and at the end, as you walk out, it's like no guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to make that clear.
Yeah. So the five core values should just be score touchdowns.
Yeah.
That score a touchdown, score another touchdown.
Try to prevent a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, stop one touchdown, but then score two more. Those are the five core values you need to succeed in college.
I was reading about this. I think he's going to be okay because his lawyer's name, power name, Chip Lewis. I like that.
That is good.
That's it. Chip B. Lewis is actually his full name.
That's a TV lawyer's
name. If he wears a cowboy hat.
I was going to say, the Johnny Manziel lawyer.
He's set. He is set. You're going to be fine, Dante. Uh-huh. Is it Dante?
Deontay.
But there's no E.
Yeah, Deontay Foreman.
The E is the apostrophe.
You know, you pronounce the E and D.
Deontay
Foreman.
Got it.
So I would give him the same advice I gave to somebody, I forget who it was, like 6 months ago when they got arrested for a weapons charge. This is a very on-brand thing in Texas to have a gun. Everyone's got a gun in Texas. Just become a huge Second Amendment guy.
Yeah.
Deontay Foreman should go into the Houston Chipotle with like an AR-15 strapped over his shoulder and cargo shorts.
First day of camp, put up a Charlton Heston poster in your room.
Yeah, exactly.
In your little dorm room.
Then I'm sure you'll get all the NRA people like just absolutely 100% having your back.
Don't. Yeah, and we'll have to figure out the weed stuff because Goodell.
There's somebody else.
That is the worst.
You were arming yourself because you knew you were going to be hanging around with your friends that sometimes had weed, and so they could be prone to violent outbursts.
Yeah, maybe he's the stoner friend.
Yeah.
That's you need one.
You need you need a weapon when you're hanging around your stoner friend.
Yeah. All right. We have last up emergency football guy of the week. What do you have?
Yeah. So this comes to us from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, down Coach O program. Down
go
Tiger. Hold that Tiger. There was a guy that snuck into Tiger Stadium with a prostitute to try to have sex inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
He got busted, got arrested, but that's a major football guy move.
That is.
With the except, it's kind of weird, like, getting a prostitute to go do this.
Yeah.
That's something that you should do with somebody who will...
You love.
Yeah.
Your wife, your future wife.
That's a magic moment. Yeah. Yeah, or, like, that's a honeymoon right there for most people Baton Rouge.
Yeah, you should have your child. You should
be conceived.
Procreate, yeah.
You should be conceived at the 20-yard line.
That would be...
That's why they call it the red zone.
That would be... Now we're back to the Harbaugh super football
super
player.
Kid, yeah.
If you, getting if you struck by lightning in Death Valley, yeah. Yeesh.
If Mike the Tiger roars as you're ejaculating the child, yeah, it's kind of cheating though. Like, it's like would you count it as joining the Mile High Club if you got a prostitute and then like bought her a plane ticket?
No, that sounds
to,
like
to
a
go,
lot of
like,
work.
Fly like on
sounds
Spirit Airlines.
Yeah, Dan Bilzerian does it every day.
That's true. That's a good point.
Can Coach O pardon him? I'm pretty sure he can.
Yeah,
I think he has pardon power.
Yes, he does.
So he's set.
I'll absolve you. I'll absolve you all your sin now.
Yeah. You're
go
Tiger. You're just trying to make a baby Tiger.
Just go beautiful, go beautiful baby Tiger. When that baby come out, you let me know. I'm going to give it full scholarship. Louisiana State University.
We'll run the ball again, and then we'll say go Tigers.
Go Tiger.
All right, that's our show. We will see everyone on Wednesday, part two of J.J. Watt. And like we said, takeies coming up on Friday. I know we've been kind of doing the whole carrot and the stick thing with the award-winning listeners. But you got to hold out.
They've been doing really well for the last couple
weeks.
Doing
great. I've been seeing a lot of people.
You guys have a perfect season going. Again, think of us like we're the BCS computers or the voters.
I'm Condoleezza Rice.
You're going to need to run up. Yeah, you are Condoleezza. You need to run up the score in this last game.
Yes. So tell everyone, tell your mother, tell your father, tell your brother, tell your sister, tell your friends. Have your dog, buy your dog an iPhone and have him subscribe.
It's basically that last game of the season. Remember that one where it was like Ohio State against, who are they playing?
The game that was actually
were they playing against
theory?
Wisconsin?
Yep. And
they
won Wisconsin threw it for the betterment of the Big Ten.
Yeah, so you guys are basically Ohio State out there.
Yeah.
And just
beat
the shit out of Wisconsin.
That's fine. Guess what? Ohio State won. The Big Ten won a national championship. If that means the award-winning listeners can become two-time award-winning listeners, I will take that.
Love you guys.
We'll be right back.